Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
This is a video game podcast, Peter, where we talk about video game things, and we only talk about the athletic competition Triple Jump when we feel like we have to make the distinction that this is not about the athletics competition of Triple Jump.
Well, one day we will have to talk about the athletics competition Triple Jump in the context of an official Olympics video game.
Yes, we should find some fun way to tie that in.
Yeah.
When is our next Olympics? There was 2012, presumably 16. Next year?
20.
Olympics next
2020.
Year? So we'll have to think up something. If you have any suggestions for what we could do to make our name tie in, apart from obviously play the Olympic tie-in. You think we should?
Yeah.
I think it's a bit too late, isn't it? Surely,
probably.
Surely the qualifiers for national teams have already happened.
Well, maybe not for triple jump there, because it's just such a nothing sport. Isn't it? Why not just long jump?
Oh my god!
Why not just long jump?
Just wait until triple jumpers come in here and just completely wreck our shears.
Right.
They'll jump all over you. You won't be able to catch them.
High jump or long jump? What is a trip? It's just like, oh, I'll just take three big steps before I do my long jump.
That's pretty much a long jump.
Yeah.
They're still incredible athletes.
Yeah, I know they are. Yeah.
They're way better than us.
Could kill me with one ankle, I'm sure.
One single jump. They don't even need three.
Yeah.
This is a show where we take some questions from you. And we've also got a few sections. We've got the What We Play In section, where we talk about what
we
playing.
Yeah.
And weird news, where we bring some weird news. And finally, we've got the big discussion at the top of the show, which I suppose actually is technically the bottom of the show, because the top of the show is now. The bottom
of
the show.
Yeah, why is that? I don't understand why that's a...
But nobody ever says the bottom of the show.
No.
Sort of the main event, the finale. We've got a big discussion to talk about.
The peak of the show.
Peak.
Yeah.
Peaker Austin.
Mm.
He'll be there,
yeah.
I think. You're not going anywhere in the next hour, are you?
Probably not, no.
Okay, right. No. I might need a wee, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
I did debate going to the toilet.
Yeah, so did I, but we spent so long setting up.
We just sat down and we're doing it. We had to put these two fellas out on the desk if you're watching the video. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I can't find my mug anywhere.
No.
It's just gone. So I'm drinking out of my water bottle now.
You can get one at triplejoe.mup/shop.
I could, but it's sort of like I had one.
Yeah.
You know, I'd already given my money to these ungrateful idiots on the internet. I felt like I don't need to do it again. But maybe I should. I'm not sure. Let's start off with the question. I know how this man's name is pronounced,
okay.
But do you?
It's Lloyd.
Yeah, Lloyd.
Two L's. Hmm. I'm not sure I want to attempt that surname.
Yeah, when I was streaming Bloodborne the other day, he did a donation and he explained how his name was pronounced. And I think there were a few people in the chat that said when Peter tried to pronounce this the other day, he nearly did a slur. So this might be why.
I don't even remember trying to pronounce that the other day.
You're always falling into pits, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're forever pitfalling.
Niger.
Lloyd Narja.
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 Okay.
This is from Lloyd Narja. Lloyd Narja actually has double billing this episode.
Oh,
he asked
really?
Two questions that
oh,
I
yeah.
thought, let's put them in here.
Well, just wait until you get to my weird news, because it's slur related. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Lloyd Narja. No, I've already
Careful.
Said it wrong. I've already said it wrong. Go on. What does he say, Peter?
With Spyro and Crash proving there is still legs in the platformer market, what are some underrated platformers that you think people should check out?
I feel like this is very much a Peter Austin question.
It's a fairly... I mean, I've written four answers down that I could do. As people probably know very well, I'm more of a retro boy. I mean, you know, it's a... the word retro kind of
it's
implies
20 years
it's,
old.
Yes.
Retro was the 80s in the 2000s,
yeah.
So I think it's fair
okay.
to call it retro.
Yeah, it's become retro now. But PS1 and also PS2 I'm a big fan of. I don't think there even are that many platformers as you sort of picture it as a concept in like PS3 onwards.
There's, well, that's why I've only got two down.
Right.
Neither of which I've played. But
Knack.
Two that I'm not Knack, although Knack is an action platformer. I've got A Hat in Time, which came out, I think, last year. And Yooka-Laylee, which you have played and reviewed.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Yooka-Laylee.
Well, I don't think many people were. That's the thing. That's why there aren't many great platformers around anymore. But those are the only two significant ones that I could think of recently.
Right. I mean, going back to some of the less well-known ones from the Spyro and Crash era, big fan of Pac-Man World, where you play as a 3D Pac-Man in a 3D environment.
Okay.
And there's just a bunch of themed levels. There's like a pirate beach one and a spooky one. There's a really cool kind of clown fun house, whole lot of fun, prizes to be won kind of place.
It's a real crazy
show.
Show, where, that's the words.
Where Pat Sharp has a mullet. And
A
mullet corner, yes. Yeah. Bugs Bunny Lost in Time. A lot of people played Bugs and Taz Time Busters or whatever it was called.
Right, but never heard of that.
I never played it. It's on PS1. You just play as Bugs Bunny, who's lost in time, and he goes around.
I remember playing that.
Yeah?
I played that at my friend Sam's house, and I've also seen your wonderful video about
Thank you. Yeah, I forgot
Peter,
I've done that.
Peter made a load of videos before he started doing it full-time as his job and lost all creative interest outside of working hours.
Yeah, not interest, but just
ability.
A bit like, not getting burnt out on it.
Yeah.
I also, super obscure game, one that I have also reviewed, actually, his Haven Call of the King as a PS2 game. That was made by Traveller's Tales, I think, who, you know, they've done some good stuff.
Yeah, Traveller's Tales, better known for Lego, right? The Lego games.
Yeah, exactly.
More recently. I mean, there's a load of platformers, sort of, but if you're interested.
Definitely, yeah. They're all pretty good. Haven Call of the King kind of faded into obscurity. I don't know why. It was like one of those games where there's so many different kind of gameplay styles. Like sometimes you drive in and sail in and fly in, but it all actually holds up. Like, you know, sometimes when you have that, because you only glide for about 30 seconds in the entire game, it's like really badly done, but it was pretty good. Apart from the fact that I later realized that it was all just a big, like, sort of Christian sort of analogy.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Was it a bit like Narnia?
Yeah.
Banania.
It was a bit like the
Where
Chronicles
it's all just
of
a big old Christian allegory and you feel like you sort of had the wool pulled over your eyes to an extent.
Yeah, no, definitely like that. It was meant to be like the first of a trilogy. It ends on this like enormous cliffhanger where basically the villain wins and then they never brought out the sequels. So I don't know what that says about Christianity, that the villain won and they're not bringing out any more.
It's because they knocked out the park with one book, didn't they?
Yeah.
The Bible.
That's it.
Don't need a sequel.
No.
It's perfect.
Yeah, where's the Bible 2 and Bible 3?
That's what I want to know.
Also, Sly Cooper. Very pretty game.
Yeah. Yeah, those games are great. They did release another one on PS3, Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it had the teaser at the end for something else as well. Ratchet and Clank, obviously. I suppose platformer-wise, that's quite a broad spectrum, really, if you want to allow certain things into it.
Mm.
Speaking like typically old school sort of Spyro-esque
mascot-y
kind of
style,
thing. Then A Hat in Time and Yooka-Laylee even, sorry. The two characters in it are called Yooka and Laylee. But those are two prominent ones recently. But there's not a great deal. I think it's probably very likely we're going to get an original Crash game from...
Yeah.
Whom did it?
Activision, developed by Vicarious Visions.
There we go.
What I was floundering for there.
Because they did an original level, right? They as a DLC.
Yeah, and it was actually really like clever how they used. It was just all these sort of pieces that you're used to, you know, all the different like bits that make up that future world. Mm. But they put them together in like some pretty insane ways. So I have a lot of faith in them if they want to start doing stuff like that.
Do you think we could potentially see a Little Big Planet or a Super Mario Maker style Crash game?
Oh my God, imagine.
Where you could modularly create levels and share them and
stuff. God, that's
I know that would
an
sort
interesting
of,
idea. But
Nintendo can sort of just do that because if it has Mario on it, apparently millions of people will buy it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge Mario fan. But and Little Big Planet obviously was just its own thing. It wasn't like, you've enjoyed playing Little Big Planet, now make your own Little Big Planet.
And it's more diverse and, you know, there's more to it than just Mario Maker style. That's just Mario Maker blocks. Is very module. Yeah, right. Modular, sorry. But yeah. Little Big Planet, you can really go to town on those games. But.
You can. And also, if Activision did this, they would potentially, unlike those other two games, they're in the unique position where they would almost be depriving themselves of... People would still buy a proper sequel, but if they released one where people could make their own... That could potentially damage future sales.
Yeah, maybe.
Of, you know, because people could just play those endlessly, albeit without voice acting and story and stuff. So, you know, I think it's something they could look into, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think, like, maybe half the reason, other than just general nostalgia, that I'm so into my late 90s, early noughties games is actually that genre specifically. Mm. So, you know, that was a very... There were, relatively speaking, a lot of those games back then. And I'm a big fan of the 3D... slightly colourful, cartoony platformer. So if they want to keep up with this revival, I'm all for it. Maybe with something original now, not just a remaster.
Yeah. I mean, it's a guaranteed moneymaker, a remaster, or a remake, sorry. Mm, it's
a
guaranteed,
yeah, you're right.
Guaranteed moneymaker, but it's also a way of testing the waters as well, just to see if people are interested. And I think they've more than proven that these series have legs still in them, as long as they don't take them in weird directions like Vivendi Games did on PS2 with both Crash and Spyro.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
They really did a top-notch job there, didn't they?
Activision's sort of... They don't get as much flack for it now because they've brought us good stuff. But let's not forget that they're also responsible for Skylanders, right?
They are very much responsible for Skylanders. And so are Toys for Bob as well, who then went on to do the remake of Spyro, which was really good. So people can change. Mm. Well, companies can't. You know, they don't have a conscience. It's a collective of people put together to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So never trust them.
Never, ever.
We got a section coming up, Peter.
Yeah.
And that section is coming up now.
Right.
This is called What We Play In, with an apostrophe and no G.
Play In.
And this is a section where we're all about how we sit down and play our games.
Chilling out.
Maxing, relaxing. It's time for what we play in. Peter.
Yeah.
Video games. They're all right, aren't they?
They are pretty good. I like to play them sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't. I can't stand the things.
Oh.
Bloody hate them.
Oh, well, that's awkward.
What
I
have
only
you...
said that I like them just to impress you.
To impress me?
Yeah.
That don't impress me much.
Oh, all right.
Ooh.
So you think you're a G-spotter?
So you think you're a G-spot?
G-spotter.
That don't impress me much.
No.
Peter, what have you been playing over the last week?
Well, I've been scratching my old, my 2000s video games itch this week. I was about to, I was going to play Battlefront on stream.
Yes.
That all went. Peter Tong. Hello. I've changed my surname to Tong. But
you don't have the best of luck with your streams sometimes.
Well, it's not
the
best of luck. It's just me like being stupid and forgetting that modern consoles require a game to be installed. That's the issue, is that I've been playing a PS2 game where I just went home and put the disc in and it played, and I just expected to do that on Monday.
No, you need at least a 5-hour run.
Yeah.
That's why we got this at the time of recording. That's why we spent the entire morning downstairs setting up TVs and making sure patches were downloaded, because... Yeah. Hey, it's easier than ever to play games.
Yeah, welcome to the 21st century, where you can play games eventually.
Eventually. Sorry, carry on.
I've been playing Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 1 and 2. Are you familiar?
I have heard of them,
mm-hmm.
and I know Baldur because he is in the God of War.
Well, he is, but I think it's completely unrelated. I am aware that...
Is he not a Norse god?
So Baldur is a Norse god.
Right.
But Baldur's Gate is a city in like a D&D Forgotten Realms world. And I'm guessing it's meant to be a completely different Baldur.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm not suggesting it's a shared universe. I just mean I'm familiar with the name Baldur.
Oh, I see.
And the concept of him as a Norse man.
Right. Thought you were saying, not that it's a shared universe, as in literally it's the same
God
of
War
universe.
Yeah, when does Kratos show up in Baldur's Gate?
I didn't think you were saying that, but I'm also saying I don't think it's meant to be the Norse god.
Right, it's just called Baldur.
Yeah, it's just the same name. Baldur's Gate is a PC, like, sort of top-down Diablo-ish kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
But Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 1 and 2 were on PS2 and Xbox. And they are top-down, sort of third-person,
mm-hmm.
but they're less kind of... they feel less like a strategy game where you're sort of going, click, move there, click, attack him. You just have, like, complete free control like you would in any third-person video game. So you're just running around with your analog stick and swinging your sword. It's very hack and slashy. Mm-hmm. It's very grindy. But it's got a lovely soundtrack by Jeremy Sewell, who does Elder Scrolls and other things. Harry Potter games he did as well.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. And also, it's Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 1 might be the game that graphically, like, sort of adjusting for the time of release, blew me away more than any other video game.
Really?
Because there's this bit where, in like the first level, you go down into the sewer underneath this pub, and there's a pool in the middle of this sewer, and you jump into the water, and the way that the ripples move is just insane. Because they're dynamic and they react to, so they'll come out of you depending on which direction you're moving in, and you'll leave a wake, and then they'll flow to the end of the pool, and then they'll sort of lap against the side of the pool.
Is it completely top down?
Or is it, no, it's not angle? Like, yeah, it's like it's kind of isometric, but well, no, that implies that it's on like angles, right? But yeah, it's sort of up in the air, but third person.
I just wonder how they got away with that, like how they did that, because it might be, if it was from a certain angle, it might be using clever techniques.
Possibly, but you can rotate the camera, like,
can you
totally like 360? Yeah,
interesting. Well, that is cool,
and it was just really amazing stuff for the time I'm talking about. You know, I mean, this is like, I don't know, a couple of years into the PS2, but just the way that it moves, it's not. It was basically the first time I'd seen kind of very dynamic looking ripples compared to, you know, just a moving texture of water on, you know, in all the other games that I played before then. It was just water.png, just sort of moving around on top of the surface. But it's a visually still a very impressive game, I think. And there's a lot to it, and it's super fun. But
nice. Yeah,
I would recommend.
Yeah,
if anyone wants to play something old, something new, Borrow Some of Blue.
Oh God,
your go.
You and your Doctor Whom.
That's not Doctor. That's a wedding.
Oh no,
thing.
that is a wedding thing. But
it was a, they did mention it a lot
in Doctor Who, didn't they?
They did it once at a wedding.
That was, I think, maybe the last time I watched it, which is why as soon as I heard that, I was like, well, that's a
Doctor Who thing.
It's a Doctor Who thing, I think. I don't know. I don't really know.
Yeah.
Speaking of like being amazed and blown away by water in games.
Yeah.
I remember just how much of a loser I am. When I got the PlayStation 3 at launch and I had Resistance Fall of Man as one of the launch games, I remember being blown away that I could shoot different parts of the window pane and it would splinter and fall off dynamically depending on how you shot it. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Mum, look at this.
Yeah, Mum, look at how this window breaks.
This is the thing that I spent all my money on.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's amazing.
I could just, like, shoot a window in real life, Mum, if you prefer, but it's up to you.
But this is what I want to do as a job. Yeah. So you've got to be encouraging and smile and be interested, or at least pretend to be.
Ben, what are you playing?
I've played more Borderlands.
Oh, yeah.
Game of the Year edition. I got the Platinum Trophy last night at the time of recording. Played through most of the DLCs now. Just started the last one,
the fourth one.
Yeah. I didn't play it in order because I'm an idiot.
Right.
In order of the DLCs released. So the last DLC I played had like adapted versions of bosses from this DLC that I'm playing now.
Oh, I see.
Which obviously would have had a lot more. I've played them before, but it would have had a lot more impact if I'd played it logically.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I like that game a lot, and it's hella fun, and I'm still enjoying it, and I don't want it to end. I don't want to play it again, like immediately start playing it again. But yeah, it's just phenomenal game. Really enjoying it. I'm trying to think if there's something else I've played, but I honestly don't think there is, because I was going to play a little bit of World War Z over the weekend just gone.
Yeah.
Last weekend. But I didn't have the time to do it. But, again, at the time of recording, we haven't done it yet. But by the time this releases, we will have done.
Yeah.
We're going to stream some World War Z and give it a proper go. That's sort of like a Left 4 Dead style game based on the movie and book license of the same name.
Yeah, with the mountains of zombies. And we'll do a quip scope on it afterwards as well, right?
Yes, we should have another video out very soon talking about how we found it properly. So you can go and check that out if you want our thoughts. But no doubt we'll talk about it on the podcast next week as well.
Yeah.
If we have the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what I play in.
Well, you're continuing to enjoy something.
Yeah, that's nice, that's isn't fine. It?
Yeah.
It's good to have that in your life.
Yeah, it is. Ben, we've got a question here from Rexy Adar, I think. Possibly Adar.
Yeah.
But who's to say?
Adair.
Would you like to read it? It's your turn.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Mm. Okay, yeah, we're just introducing each other to the question, aren't we? That's strange. What are your feelings about pre-ordering? With how unstable and glitchy new games often are on release, do you think it's better to just wait to get the game later, or do you think pre-ordering still is an okay idea? I pre-ordered Mass Effect Andromeda, and that absolute mess of a game turned me off pre-ordering forever. Oh, we've spoken about this briefly in the past. I don't think pre-ordering is a good idea. I think consistently the bigger publishers are finding more and more ways to insidiously monetize pre-ordering, especially with Anthem and its multi-tiered launch. You find every Ubisoft game has at least three tiers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a gold edition of FIFA, for example, as well.
Yeah, you do it as well.
Yeah, so you can, you know, and it's all digital content. And it's always such a risk. Because not only are you buying into something you have no idea if it's any good, but it's also an immense amount of trust, and you're going to spend way more than you would if you could wait until it comes out. That's the thing, though. With this hobby, there's so much to be said for being at the front of the queue.
Oh, yeah.
And riding that wave and enjoying the zeitgeist with everybody else. Mm. But by the same token, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Mm. If you don't think that the game's going to be any good, or if you're concerned at all, there is no harm from holding off just a day and then spending the same amount of money you would have done if you were going to pre-order it anyway to then get it practically immediately if you want to get it digitally, if you were going to do that anyway.
But time for a day one patch or, you know.
Exactly.
Or even wait a week if depending on how... If it's something that you're not absolutely desperate for, you probably should wait a week or two and just let them do those first few bugs that are inevitably going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the most infuriating thing. And to an extent, I can understand, like, with the scale of games nowadays, there's just so much going on that I guess just QA testing things is a lot harder than it used to be when things were much simpler and the games were much more bare bones. But at the same time, I kind of find it so frustrating nowadays that all the big publishers are releasing things that are, in some form or other, going to be buggy. When a game is released and there's not a day one patch that's like, you know, gigs upon gigs upon gigs with just pages of patch notes, that's actually sort of applauded and people are like, well done. Oh, wow.
For acknowledging the issue that you created.
Well, like, but when that doesn't happen, people are like, oh, that's amazing that, like, you didn't have to do a big bug fix in week one because it's so rare.
Fallout 76 is the standout for me. The fact that there was a patch the size of the actual game day one.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. But at the same time, I'm as guilty as probably a lot of people are of, you know, kind of just feeding that beast in so much as I got the Elite Trooper Star Wars edition purely to get it early.
Battlefront 2.
Really. Yeah, the Battlefront 2 thing. Mm. I don't think I was interested in, like, getting, you know, like a Kylo Ren costume. I think I can't remember what the other rewards were, but I think as much as anything, I just wanted
a sense of pride and accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really, really proud that I got in on that hype week when that game came out. And the other thing that didn't really affect me, but I got Spyro 3 day one. Spyro Reignited day one, and Spyro 3 particularly was very buggy.
Right.
Now, I played through that game slowly because I wanted to savor it, and by the time I got round to Spyro 3... I mean, I don't think there'd actually been an update, but I didn't seem to hit many of the big issues. But people were like 100%ing a level and then leaving, and then they were on 99% and they'd go back into the level and there was nothing to collect and stuff like that. So they just couldn't finish the game. And, you know, people getting extra gems that was like really throwing the game off and confusing it. But fortunately, I didn't really get hit by anything. But, you know, that's the other thing is that if you are the kind of person, who is going to get something on day one because it's something that you absolutely adore. Like, for example, if they brought out another Dark Souls, you would be tempted, I'm sure, to get it immediately. Those are the people who really, really, really want to play and enjoy this game. But they're also the people who are going to suffer the most because they're playing it so soon into its release that they're going to be hit with all the bugs. Whereas the people who are like, yeah, I'll play that Dark Souls 10 at some point. Yeah, it looks good. And then, you know, 2 weeks in, they'll get it, play it, and be like, yeah, that was good. Meanwhile, you're just crying because you're like, oh my God, I got two levels in and then my character was deleted and I had to start again, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's a gamble to pre-order. It's always going to be a gamble. And issues like that, they're not always going to be patched immediately.
No.
But equally, there's a very good chance that issues that bad aren't going to happen. Like, I didn't bump into any issues with Spyro myself either. And I got it pretty much day one as well. I haven't pre-ordered a game for a while just because of the fortunate situation we're in and the industry that we work in. But I have pre-ordered, as I said before, Borderlands 3. So I wouldn't say just don't pre-order, because if there's something that you really enjoy and that you're really passionate about, screw it. Like, if you want to spend your money on that, then do it. But people have to be and are aware of the risks. I don't think pre-ordering should just be unavailable, because that wouldn't work. That's not going to happen. But just be sensible. And if it's something that you really want, then spend your money how you want.
Well, yeah, because, like, I'd like to think that a game wouldn't be released if the majority of people playing it and testing it or in the beta were having problems. So if there is a game that you love and you pre-order it, chances are you'll probably be okay, even if there are some bugs out there. You know, it's always, you hear about them because they get posted on Reddit and shared around, but really it's like 1 in 1,000 or 1 in, you know, however many, because
very unlikely a game breaking bug is going to make it through.
Yeah.
Not anymore, anyway. Yeah. It's unlikely.
Yeah.
Peter. It smells weird in here.
It smells really strange.
Super weird. Is it time? Is it time for the.
To stack our papes.
For the weird news?
Weird.
It's.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Weird news, Peter. Weird news time. We've both brought a weird news story along to talk to each other about. I've got one for you. Let me just get it for you right now off the...
News machine.
Off the machine, the news machine.
Okay.
So I think we've both got a Super Smash Bros. Story, right? This week?
Yes, I have.
So have I.
Yeah.
But it is different.
They're both from Kotaku, right?
I believe so.
I think mine is.
Spectator throws dead crab at Super Smash Bros. Tournament winner.
I'm sorry?
Spectator throws dead crab at Super Smash Bros. Tournament winner.
Right. I missed this
Spectator throws dead crab.
Dead crab.
At Super Smash Bros. Tournament winner.
Ooh, stinky.
Sorry for losing my temper. Top Super Smash Bros. Melee Pro Juan Hungrybox Debiedma, maybe, wrote on Twitter after the weekend's Pound 2019 tournament in Maryland.
Maryland.
Maryland. He had just fought his way out of the loser's bracket and ultimately took it all in the grand finals. He had every reason to be happy, except in the crustacean department. Someone threw a bleeping raw crab at me, he tweeted. Barely missed my head.
Raw?
What the bleep, man? A video recorded by a fan shows him reaching to shake the hand of his opponent, Joseph Mango Marquez, and then suddenly turning around towards the... and then suddenly turning around toward the ground. With a big thunk, a dead crab had landed there. He picks it up and, facing the crowd, furiously demands, "Who threw this at me?"
This is some weird news. Why a crab?
I don't know.
So strange.
So it turns out the guy, Hungry Box, now we've voiced our lack of interest in G-Sports, G-Spots before.
Yeah.
But we don't really get it. It's not for us. But he's not incredible. He's quite divisive.
He's not well liked.
He's not hugely well liked because he's a Super Smash Bros. Melee player, and he is the top player in the world by all accounts.
And it's well known that he is allergic to crab.
He's allergic to crab, but the reason he's not liked is because he uses Jigglypuff,
right,
as his character.
Okay.
And Jigglypuff has some. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Jigglypuff has some sort of evasive maneuvers that could be considered incredibly cheap.
I saw a video recently where someone playing as Jigglypuff was like really screwing with his opponent. I don't know if one of them was these guys.
It might well be.
And his opponent just stood up and walked off.
Yes, I've seen that as well.
Yeah.
It might have been this person, but.
Right.
She also has a move called Rest that puts other characters in stasis, a mechanic that has tilted more melee players than any other. All of it combines to make Jigglypuff pretty unpopular.
OP.
Some would even say a cheesy character. He's a pretty divisive fellow in the world of G-Spots.
Right.
But someone threw a crab at him because, I don't know why, but apparently that person was thrown out.
Okay.
After they threw a crab
at him.
Just thrown back into the sea.
Right.
Where they came from. Well, that's my weird news.
And he was angry, was he?
He wasn't happy, but
no,
he did apologize. What you got?
Okay, well, this is from Kotaku.
Yeah.
This is a bit kind of meta, if you like.
Okay.
Some people think that's a bit of a cringy word to use nowadays. Mm. This is from Kotaku. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's Persona 5 DLC appears to include a disability slur.
Oh, no.
Okay. But as I say, this is weird news.
Right, so it's news about weird news.
Yes, because the very top part of this article says, "Update, 6 p.m. UK. Okay. We have published a retraction of this article here. You should probably read that and skip this." Okay. Now, in this retraction, they say, "We don't take down articles. It's on the internet. What's the point of even taking it down?"
Right.
So the article is still available, but we have retracted these comments.
Okay.
So I'll read you the original article that
they
posted.
Yes, please. Yeah.
"Early today, an update to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate brought the game up to version 3 and brought with it several big changes. Players can now create and share custom stages, and they've added protagonist Joker to the game from Persona 5. Part of the DLC's pack edition includes a number of Persona music tracks, which can be listened to in full outside of battle. However, one of these tracks caught our attention for all the wrong reasons."
Oh, no.
Basically, a bunch of several people contacted Kotaku saying, "We think there is a slur in the lyrics of this song."
Right. Would that not have been caught in the actual Persona 5 game? If that was also the case.
I don't know if these are like sort of Persona style that some of them are new, maybe,
right,
or
okay.
What. But because, like you would kind of think this would have come out sooner. So I think maybe it's like a new Persona style track.
Mm-hmm.
The official lyrics of the song, curiously enough, do not include this spoken word section from the middle,
okay,
which is where the slur appears to take place.
Right.
So there was no confirmation in the official lyrics. Now, this is our transcription of what's said. I will read this. "This contains a disability slur. I'm repeating it for educational purposes."
Yes, for editorial journalistic purposes.
"OR, hi. Are you ready? Ready to pick up the pieces? Let's go. Let's play. Retarded. I can say it. Are you ready? Uh-huh."
What?
And then it says you can listen to this here.
That's not good, is it?
The term retarded is considered a slur against people with mental disabilities. It's commonly been used as a pejorative to diminish the capabilities of those with certain mental health conditions.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. They contacted Nintendo as well as the people behind the production of the song. They reached out to European publisher Deep Silver for comment. And at time of posting the article, they hadn't had any responses. There was one update to the end of the article that says a lot of Persona fans are insisting the lyrics are retort it or
right.
Retard.
But didn't he say that I can say this or something?
Yeah, he says retarded, I can say this.
Oh my God.
I've had a listen. Mm-hmm. It does actually sound exactly like retarded.
Is there any way you could play that just through the microphone quickly?
Yeah, okay. I will do.
Okay, let's give that a go. Peter's just loading it up now. Yeah, no, that's definitely, there's no way it's not that, is it?
That must be retarded.
That's got to be what it says.
So, yeah, a lot of Persona fans are saying it's retort it or retardendo, a musical term. We've listened again and still don't quite hear
there's
it that
way.
There's
not enough syllables for that.
No, it's not retardendo. Anyway, this is their update that Kotaku posted as a separate article. Yesterday, we published an article about an inclusion of Persona 5 song in the latest Smash Bros. DLC, mm-hmm. And that it included the word retarded. We contacted Atlus and Nintendo for comment. Many of you suggested alternatives. Nintendo, they were asked for an official transcription of the lyric and for an explanation as to why this section of the song is omitted from the official lyric transcription. We've now received the following reply. We've checked with Atlus, who confirmed that the actual lyrics of the song do not include the word retarded.
That's it.
That's all it says. So Kotaku says, they've basically apologized and said that they've made a mistake. But in fairness, and they have put, frustratingly, this does not clear up our confusion over what the singer is actually saying.
Right.
But they've been very apologetic and saying, you know, you deserve better. We'll strive to do better.
Oh,
but
Kotaku.
I don't think it's their fault. I think it sounds exactly like that word, and Nintendo haven't really offered a suitable explanation.
That is really weird.
I wonder
if they'll just quietly change it
and
not say anything because they don't want to cause a backlash. But actively denying that it says that.
But not saying what it does. All they would have to do is say, look, she's saying, you know, retort it. Or
yeah. And then removing and just saying, but we understand the similarities, and we will remove it for those who are upset by this.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for any, you know, offense caused.
Yeah.
But Jesus,
that's really bad.
That's so bad. That's a really bad one.
So not only was that weird news, but news about weird news there.
Sad news.
Mm. Yeah.
Sad. Thank you for your weird news, Peter.
Thank you for yours. They were both very... I'm impressed with us both this week.
Did pretty good, didn't
we?
Kotaku again, just... Oh, they're moving stuff about upstairs again.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I think someone must have told them that the podcast is being recorded, so...
So the Hoovers will be out in a minute as well, and... Jesus, and all the trains will go past as well. Next question, Peter, is from Mancombe Seepgood.
Yeah.
Mancombe Seepgood.
Mancombe Seepgood.
I think.
Isn't that the protagonist from Monkey Island? Mancombe Seepgood.
Shut up, Peter. That might be this man's genuine name.
It might be.
What does Mancombe say, or Mancombe?
Mancombe says, the Borderlands series has always been something that my brother and I would play together, regardless of where we were in our lives and what we were doing. Do you have any similar experiences of games that you've bonded with siblings over, or fallen out with them over? Thank you, Mancombe. And apologies, given that you've given actual money to us to ask that question.
Yeah, everyone knows that when they give money to us and ask a question, they're fair game.
Yeah.
Peter Austin's coming after your name somehow.
You bet. Yeah, I'll find a way.
So I never really played games with my siblings, just because I have two younger sisters and then a much younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all 3 years apart. So my sisters were never really interested in games. I managed to just about persuade my younger sister to give Persona 4 a go.
Oh, yeah.
And she was head over heels into that, mm-hmm. but not interested in any other games.
And that's single player anyway.
That's single player. Yeah. My brother, I, you know, was always fascinated by games just because I played them,
mm-hmm.
and I let him play things that I would never have been allowed to play when I was his age, which is sort of what I think everyone wants
yeah.
when they're perhaps the eldest child. and they don't have someone who can go on, you want to see this
game?
You know, you can go to friends' houses sometimes, but if you have a brother who has that stuff, mm-hmm. I wanted to let my little brother have that experience.
Yeah.
But he's just sort of he's into clothes and like girls and stuff. He's mm-hmm. hit that age where he's like, oh, I don't have time for Fortnite, you know?
I don't have enough. I'm spending all my money on Lynx Africa.
Exactly. So. I mean, I could just give him some of my gift sets because everyone's got about 12 of them from aunts who don't really know them very well.
They just gather dust.
Yes, exactly. So I never really did it with siblings, but, you know, my friends who I've been playing games with for a long time, we have some. So the Dark Souls and the From Software games in general that have multiplayer in them, we've always played through those together. We played through all of those.
Yeah.
Borderlands is one that I played through extensively with one of my friends, and now we're playing through it again, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. And Call of Duty 4, I used to play tons of that back in the day. And then when that was remastered and released on Plus a couple of months ago, we just jumped back into it like nothing had changed, and it was brilliant. But there aren't too many. I know a lot of people like to get games like The Division when they're not even that excited about it, just because it's a co-op game that you can just sort of switch your brain off and chat with a friend over microphone and just like a few evenings a week just hang out and play this game together.
Yeah.
I don't really have many games like that, but do you?
I've got an older brother and a younger sister, both 2 years apart. I would agree that as a general rule, younger sisters probably aren't particularly interested in, or certainly back then. I think that there is more of a, there are more female gamers nowadays, but
yeah.
You know, when I was growing up, I don't think things were marketed towards them for one thing.
No, not really.
As much. But for whatever reason, and I don't really know why, my sister really enjoyed playing Time Splitters Future Perfect with me co-op. Mm. So we've played through that a lot. And that's a game that will probably be streaming soon on Thursdays.
From next week,
in
maybe.
Our joint streams. Yeah, I believe so. So I know that like when we play that, I'll be able to sort of speak along to like half the cutscenes, because I used to just play that over and over with her because that was one of the only games she wanted to play. The other thing was that when we were really quite young, like sort of I was about 8 years old and she was six, mm-hmm. On our way into school in the morning, we would stop at my friend's house who lived on the way, because like my mum had to get to work before she could drop us off or something, so like my friend's mum would drop us off.
Okay.
And while we were waiting to leave, we would play, the three of us would play Diddy Kong Racing on his N64, because that was a four-player split screen, actually, which was pretty cool.
Right.
And I do remember, actually, it was a bit mean. Like, me and my friend used to make her, apparently, be, like, the worst player. She was the youngest. She was a six-year-old girl. No. And we would just, like, force her to select... I think it was called Crunch the Crocodile.
Right.
I've actually since looked at the wiki for Diddy Kong Racing, and he has like the highest acceleration or the highest top speed or something.
Well, there you go.
But he's just like, he's so cumbersome. I think he's got like the worst handling.
He can't turn.
Yeah. So really know how to like drive with him, I think he's like super quick, but it's just impossible to play. The one other thing that I have memories of, like one of my earliest co-op experiences was playing a game called Tyrion 2000 on PC, which was I think you had to launch it through DOS, like type of like a command in to get it working.
Right.
I don't even know if it was just a demo version or not, but me and my brother would play that, and one of you would. It was a shoot 'em up where you're in spaceships, but it was one of those flat, like scrolling spaceship shoot 'em up things.
Right.
And one of you would use a keyboard, and one of you would use a mouse, and had an amazing soundtrack. That was a lot of fun. I did actually play games with my siblings now and then. We did mostly just fall out with each other.
Right.
Not while playing games together, but like that would prevent us from playing games together, because we would have fallen out for other reasons. But on the days where we were getting on, we had stuff to play.
Nice. Do you think you'd ever go back and do that now?
Yeah.
Like if there was a way to play them online, do you think you would be able to?
Potentially. I'm not so into playing co-op games online. Like, I think I would rather, if we just had like a dusty old computer set up, I would rather just like sit and play Tyrion with my brother at a desk, or equally like play couch co-op with my sister. But I wouldn't be against it. But neither of them, my brother's got an Xbox, doesn't have a PS4, and my sister doesn't have a console at all, so like wouldn't be able to do that. But
right,
yeah, no, I'd be up for playing, but it'd probably have to be local, I think.
I see. Mm-hmm. It's time, Peter,
for something big,
for a huge discussion. There's not a huge amount in the news this week.
Not really.
We could have a chat about the future of games.
Oh my God, we do that a lot in our big discussions.
We do.
This has been submitted by Lloyd. What was it?
Narja.
Mm-hmm. The E is silent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't see how it's spelled.
No. Well, I know
there's an E in it,
but there is an E in it somewhere where you wouldn't expect, and it's silent. With the recent stinkers from Bethesda and BioWare, as well as the masterpieces from Santa Monica and Naughty Dog, what publisher do you think could go on?
Yeah.
Why is it always me reading the ones where I can't help but...
Just read it with confidence.
Point out the errors.
What publisher do you think
could go on to define the next gen of consoles? I've got my fingers crossed for Bungie, as I was a big Halo boy. CD Projekt Red are my bet. All the best, and keep up the great work, boiks.
Thank you very much, Lloyd.
What did Santa Monica make?
That would be the God of War.
Oh, right,
the God of War. So...
Yeah, I didn't know who developed that.
Yeah, generally speaking, the future of games is still going to have a large presence from EA, Ubisoft, Activision, all that, and all their studios underneath. But in terms of studios that stand out, and that, at least for me, have stood out over the last year, and I think, these guys are really good.
Yeah.
I want to see what they do next. I think it's fair to say that almost all of the first-party studios, at least under PlayStation, have produced some incredible things over the last couple of years. You've got Guerrilla Games with Horizon Zero Dawn.
Absolutely.
You've got Insomniac with Spiders, Spiderman. You've got Sony Santa Monica with God of War.
Naughty Dogs. I know it's been actually a while since they released anything, but...
2017 was Uncharted... The Lost Legacy. That's the boy. Mm. And that was still very good. Sorry, I'm just pulling on your microphone while there.
That's all right.
And he yanked it out.
Yikes.
I've got some other ones written down, but do you have any thoughts?
I think Naughty Dog in particular will continue to just be amazing if and when they, you know, certainly next game is presumably Last of Us 2, Part 2.
Yes.
Beyond that, who knows? CD Projekt Red as well. Like, I personally, for some reason, I can't really get into The Witcher. I don't really know what it is, because I can see that it's objectively just so well done.
Yeah.
And I can really appreciate, like, the sort of constituent parts. But when you put it all together, for some reason, I don't know if it's, like, partly the history and, like, the previous games, and maybe that puts me off. I know that you don't really need to... I'm sure, like, probably 50% of the player base probably
didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, 2 and 1 weren't out on PlayStation, so I only played 3.
And that doesn't always put me off games, so I don't know why that would be. But for some reason, can't really get into it. But certainly I'm excited for Cyberpunk.
Yes.
That looks like it's going to be incredible stuff.
It does look very good.
It's difficult to kind of predict if anyone's going to come out sort of from... Not necessarily the front bench, if you like.
Right,
if
sort of come out of nowhere.
Surprises, yeah. I'm not sure.
Well, CD Projekt Red, I think, are a very good bet. Mm-hmm. They are made of money.
Yeah.
And they've got a very talented team, and they've made some incredible games. Yeah. And even the expansions for The Witcher 3 were unbelievably good. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to see what the future holds for them beyond Cyberpunk, even, because Cyberpunk is also looking amazing.
Yeah.
Although there's absolutely no way that, you know, hour long or half an hour long, however long it was, tech demo is going to be representative of the final game.
I don't
believe at all.
So many coincidences and...
Yeah, so many perfect things just lining up. I know it was a tech demo and it's basically a vertical slice, but that thing was a movie, essentially.
Yeah.
You're not going to play it like that. So it's going to be very different, and it will be fascinating to see comparisons of what they showed off and what the final thing is. But I'm still very confident that it'll be amazing.
Still be good, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
So I've got written down here, CD Projekt Red, Blue Point Games, I think, are going to continue to be excellent. And they, of course, are known for their remasters.
Yeah.
So they did Shadow of the Colossus last year, completely remade from the ground up.
Very well.
And it was really good. And they clearly have a... I don't know if they'll develop an original game, but yeah, they seem to be remake specialists. So while everyone's cashing in on that nostalgia and trying to make as much money from it as possible, I think Bluepoint's services will be in higher and higher demand.
Mm.
There's a lot of rumors that they're working on remaking Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
But there's no concrete evidence of that as yet.
Right.
That would be amazing to me. That's FromSoftware's first sort of the granddaddy of the Soulsborne series. It was the first one. It was a PS3 exclusive. It was niche as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It was published by three different companies in three different territories.
Right.
So Sony promised it. Sony published it in Japan. I think Sega did it in America and Bandai Namco in Europe, maybe.
Right, okay.
So it was just like, it was sort of a case of...
Three big boys.
Three big boys, but license-wise, very complicated.
Yeah.
So I don't know how realistic a remake actually is, but it was still a really good game and mm-hmm. just shows like the promise that the rest of the series had before they'd really got running. IO Interactive,
mm-hmm.
they done Hitman.
Yeah.
The most recent one. So they bought the license from Square Enix.
Right.
So they're now just making and publishing those themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitman Season 2, I haven't played it, but by all accounts, really, really good.
They look a lot of fun. Like, yeah. I've played some old Hitman games and really enjoyed them. And just the sort of creative ways you can... That really is like... That does feel a bit like a movie. Like, you can really sort of set some quite elaborate things up and then just sort of watch it go and sort of hope this works. You know, I've put that explosive device there and I'm dressed as this guy, which will allow me to get into, you know, it's like really clever things. But I feel like I should catch up on the latest Hitman stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I want to play at some point too. I've never really played the Hitman games. I think I tried one of the PS2 games once,
mm-hmm.
but I sort of lost my patience a bit because I think I wasn't playing them properly.
Like a silent assassin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think I'd have a lot more fun now. I know one of them was on PlayStation Plus a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
The first season, so I've got that.
Yeah.
I really should play. I might stream it, actually. I don't know. But I'd like to give those a go, and I know that IO Interactive are obviously very good. I've also written down here Rockstar. Obviously,
yeah,
are going to continue to be dominant, and all of Nintendo's studios... That work on all of their first party games.
Mm-hmm.
Like they never release a dud, do they?
No. Yeah.
Microsoft wise, I don't really know. They've acquired Ninja Theory, I think they're called,
mm-hmm.
who did Hellblade.
Yeah.
And also they did the PS3 launch game. What's it called? Heavenly Sword.
Okay.
Which was also really well liked. And Microsoft bought them recently.
Strange that they did Heavenly Sword and Hellblade.
Mm. Look at that.
Mm.
I hope I'm getting the right company. I think I am. But Heavenly Blade was... I never played that.
Heavenly Blade.
But it was meant to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It had Andy Serkis in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did mocap and stuff. And he was a naughty king.
Yeah.
And stuff. And then it was just... They just never followed up on it. Never spoke about it again.
Hellblade was one of those that kind of did come out of nowhere a little bit, didn't it? And it was like, oh, hang on. This is like, you know... And it's not like AAA budget, but it almost feels like a AAA game.
Mm.
And you know,
AAA indie, I think, is what they call it.
Well, yeah, and you do hope that, like, you know, we'll see more from them, but equally that someone else could just appear out of nowhere. I think Horizon as well. People were like fairly surprised that, like, as a first outing, that was just super impressive stuff. So while I am fairly sure there will be a sequel to that, I'd also like to see what else there is. Oh, and also. Starfield, we've still not seen anything from that, from Bethesda.
No.
And, you know, they have done some stinkers recently.
They have.
Well, they've done one notable stinker. Fallout 4, I didn't really, like, get that excited
about.
No,
that kind of divided people, didn't it, Fallout 4?
Yeah, that was all, like, fine, great, it's another Fallout game. I don't think the environment helps with Fallout. I know it's, like, part and parcel of the whole thing, but
yeah.
I find it a bit like, oh... Yeah, here I am again.
That's why Fallout 76 was kind of promising, because it was like colors.
Yeah.
But then it was worse in every way. The colors didn't help.
Yeah. So next, Elder Scrolls, they've got a lot to live up to. I know people, it's quite a trendy sort of bandwagon-y opinion to have now, which is that CD Projekt Red did an amazing job of fantasy RPG.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't just be Bethesda and say, here's an Elder Scrolls game. We know you'll lap it up anymore.
Yeah.
Because there's actually... other contenders now in that sort of genre.
Doing it better.
Yeah, they have to be careful.
From Software, I think will continue to be a big player as well. I think, you know, they've gone from strength to strength to strength with their games. Dark Souls 1 was reviewed incredibly well and got a really hardcore following. Dark Souls 2 was weird because it was also developed by From Software, but it was basically Bandai Namco saying to them, we've got money, make another one.
Yeah.
And most of the team were working on Bloodborne at the time, including Hidetaka Miyazaki, who's the brains behind it all.
Yeah.
And so they sort of got this, I assume, some kind of B team. And it feels in so many ways like a fan game. There's so many weird decisions that don't make sense that weren't in the first one and then weren't in the third one.
Yeah.
It's just very weird. And sometimes it can be extremely frustrating. It's still fun to play through and it's still good, but it's not the same as the others. It's really bizarre. Then they went and did Bloodborne, and Bloodborne was unbelievable. It's one of the best PlayStation games of all time.
Yeah, people do say,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
And then they went back and did Dark Souls 3, and they took everything they'd learned from Bloodborne and put that into Dark Souls. And it's like, oh my God, this is faster. This is more... It's a gorgeous game. And that was incredible. Sekiro, I'm not a huge fan, but I can appreciate that it's really good, and they've got a huge publisher, Activision, behind them.
Yeah.
So their stock is just going up and up and up, and whatever they do next is going to be enjoyed and followed by a lot of people, I think. I just hope it's a sequel to Bloodborne, or I hope that it's, you know, even if they do it themselves, a remake or a remaster of Demon's Souls or even a Dark Souls 4, even though they said they're done with it, but then they said that maybe they're not, and I don't really know.
Maybe they should remake Dark Souls 2 and just, like, if they
put Dark Souls 2 into Dark Souls 3's engine, like, I'd go for that.
Yeah.
For that.
You mentioned Insomniac as well. I'd love to see what they do next, because you never know what you're going to get with Insomniac. They started out, their first game was an FPS called... Oh, I shouldn't have said the word called then, because Disruptor, I think it was called.
Oh, okay.
Then they did Spyro. And then they were obviously doing Ratchet for a while.
They did Jack and Daxter.
Jack and Daxter, sorry, yeah. And then I'm sure there was stuff since then. But then Spider-Man as well.
Yeah.
You know, so they do their 3D platformers and their Spyros and their Jack and Daxters. They've done an FPS. I think they did do an FPS, actually.
They did another FPS, and it was awful.
Yeah.
Like, it nearly killed them.
Right.
It was a game that looked really colorful and interesting and fun. And then it was that period.
Oh, they changed it.
It was that period where everyone was like, need to compete with Call of Duty.
It's in a list coming up in the next few weeks that I'm doing.
It's called Fuse.
Yeah.
And I played the demo for it. I remember at the time being interested because Insomniac did Resistance as well, obviously, which was also a brilliant series. 1 and 3 were great.
Yeah.
I didn't like 2 so much. But, yeah, they've done loads. They did Sunset Overdrive, which was an Xbox One exclusive.
Oh, yeah.
And before they did Fuse, which was awful. And then they did a remake of the first Ratchet and Clank game to tie in with the movie, but it was really good even then.
Yeah.
And then they did Spider-Man. And you have to imagine they've gone straight on to Spider-Man 2 because of the amount of money that game made.
True. But, I suppose that is what we'll see from them next. I hadn't really thought of that. But...
Yeah, they're a very talented studio.
Yeah.
And they're not owned by Sony.
No.
So they can do what they want. Mm. And, you know, Spider-Man 2 will probably also be exclusive, but whatever they make next could be multi-platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So exciting stuff.
So there's lots to be excited about, Peter,
mm.
I would say. Lots of very talented studios. The big established boys will remain there.
Oh, yeah.
THQ Nordic will, I assume, continue to buy up loads of weird licenses and release
and
games
not use them.
That aren't very good and then do AMAs on weird websites that they shouldn't go anywhere near.
Yeah.
I'm still not entirely sure what the fallout of that was. I think the owner of the company came out and just said, like, on behalf of everyone here, would like to apologize and stuff has been sorted internally and it won't happen again. In case you missed that, you need to go back and listen to one of our older podcasts where we talk about that. Basically, THQ Nordic did an AMA on... Is it 8chan?
I don't. It's 8 something. I don't think it's 8chan, is it?
Okay, it's like twice as bad as 4chan, basically. And it's all like... It's been linked to child pornography and all sorts of awful stuff.
Yeah.
They didn't ask me anything on there, which is just mind-bogglingly stupid.
Now, even doing it on 4chan would be a bit...
It would be really questionable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There's loads of really talented developers that are continuing to prove themselves, and loads of amazing indie studios as well that we haven't mentioned that released lots of very interesting games over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
All to look forward to. what they're doing next. But make sure you let us know what you think about the future of who's going to step up and do really, really good in the comments below, or tweet us, or however you want to interact with us. Let us know what you thought of all of our talking points this week and all of our questions. And we look forward to reading them and thinking about them.
Hmm.
Peeper.
Yes.
How can they find us?
You can find us pretty much anywhere at Team Triple Jump. We're YouTube, Team Triple Jump, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, Patreon, if you want to come and help support the things that you like. You can also support us financially by going to triplej.merp, which is our website, /shop.
Shop.
Which is where we sell things like the mug that is now on screen on the video version of this podcast.
Yes.
The podcast that you're listening to right now is available at play.acast.com/s/triplejump. Not team triple jump.
No, just triple jump. We didn't set that other. If we'd have set that one up, we would have done it.
Yeah.
We'd changed the URL, but it doesn't matter because you can find us on Spotify and iTunes and all those places anyway.
Yeah. We're almost everywhere now. People keep thinking of new places for us to be, and we're like, okay. Yeah.
Okay, fine. We'll do what we can.
And our Discord is bit.ly/team-triple-jump. I mentioned team the Patreon. Jump. There's all kinds of tiers.
Yeah.
One of them is that you can enter an exclusive Discord room just for patrons.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do a voice chat with us that we do monthly.
Yes, that we will do monthly.
That we will continue to do monthly now going forwards. And you can also get Worst Games Ever early.
Yes, you can. 2 days early.
Yeah.
If you want to follow us on social media, you can do. On Twitter, it's @confused_dude and @thatPeterAustin. And on Instagram, Peter is also @thatPeterAustin. But I could not get my username. So it's @BenPotter20 if you want to follow us on there. We do lists. You got that on the YouTubes. It's every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Monday being Peter, Tuesday being me, and Thursday being both of us. Worst Games is fortnightly. That'll be Friday for patrons, Sunday for everyone else, and next Worst Games will be next week. The podcast is, of course, every Saturday. And that's the basic gist of what we do on the channel for now.
When you say next week, you mean a week on Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this releases on Saturday.
Yeah.
So it'll be the following week.
I see.
Yeah? We good? We clear?
I actually thought there was one due out tomorrow, but there's not.
Oh God, you must.
At time of recording.
Your heart must have just palpitated.
No,
briefly.
I didn't. I just thought like, I must have done it. It must be done already. And I was
no,
like, oh, hang on, no.
It's not. It's not
so,
done.
So yeah,
yet.
No, this coming Friday at time of release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be more coming to the channel soon as well. I want to keep reiterating that because we really appreciate your support. All of you who support us financially, whether it's subscribing to us on Twitch or watching YouTube without an ad blocker on, or buying merchandise, or supporting us on Patreon, as all the people did who asked questions on this week's show. They did that because those are the only questions we want to hear, quite frankly, is from you fine folk who support us monetarily. We want to reassure you and just say that, you know, your money is going towards making this the best it can be.
Yeah.
For now, as we've said a few times, you know, talking to the Cultaholic guys and to Adam in particular, who's sort of oversees everything and invited us to come in here and do this channel. This is the best foundation that we could possibly have currently for just the two of us. It's just Peter and I doing everything. We've got a couple of freelance writers. We've got a freelance video editor now. But as we go forward and as you continue to support us, we're going to be able to grow that staff and support network to the point where we're going to be able to branch out into new shows and familiar shows. And other things like that, stuff that we want to be able to do on top of this baseline content. But we hope that you enjoy what we do, and we really appreciate your support either way.
We do, yeah, absolutely.
Peeps, it's time to go home.
It is.
Thank you very much for listening or watching. We hope you enjoyed this week's show, and as always, thank you for watching and listening.
Is that the catchphrase?
And as
and
always,
thank you for watching and listening.
Thanks for listening.
That's a good one.
What's the phrase from the old VHS?
Video certificates are there to give you the chance to make the right choice.
Thanks for listening. And then there's a tick. We both ticked in opposite directions.
Well, I did it for the...
You did it for the people at home watching. At home. I did it for me.
Right, okay.
I'm doing it for me.
Yeah.
It's about time Ben gets a tick. I want a tick.
Okay.
Will you tick for me? There we go.
Oh, I just ticked the microphone.
Just
there.
Smacked your microphone. Thanks for
listening.
And as always, thanks for watching and listening. Thanks for watching and listening.
Yeah.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.